Well, tonight we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, so if you want to turn there. It's actually kind of a prayer that he's praying, Paul is praying for the Colossians somewhat. He begins in chapter 1 talking about, you know, he gives his introduction and he talks about giving thanks because we've heard about your faith. And then he goes on and it's more or less it's written kind of as what he's praying for them for. But we're going to start in verse 9. Not very many verses, but there's a lot in there that we're going to go through tonight. So let's start in verse 9. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all the might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word, and Lord, these words that were prayed so long ago for these people. Lord, I pray those for us now. I pray that we would see the importance of these verses, and our heart's desire would be to be blessed by You, that this might take place in our lives, Lord. And we just lift that up tonight as we go through this. I just pray that You would speak to us in a mighty, mighty way. In Your precious and loving name I pray. Amen. Like I said, it's kind of somewhat of a prayer for the Colossians. And he begins to pray for them. He says, "Ever since we heard about your faith..." Man, we don't stop praying for you. I think about this and immediately when I read that, and this is not in my notes anywhere, but when I read that, I think of what Paul said right there. He said, when we think about you, we think about your faith. And since the day we heard about your faith, since we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. Man, I want people to understand the importance of praying for other people. We've got a prayer pail out here, and I haven't mentioned it in quite a while. But I go through and I look at it every week, and it's been empty for a long time. I put some in there, and I picked them out and prayed for them again. But I say that not to say, oh, well, we need to be using this more, but we need to be using it more. I mean, honestly, because one of the most powerful things we have is to be able to take our brothers and sisters in Christ, and even people that don't know Him, and take them to the Father. And yes, we do that. We do it on Wednesday nights. You do it in your quiet times. We do it at different times. But any way that we can push our prayer life in any way for those that are Christians. We need to lift up those that are not Christians, and we do that as we should. But so many times, we just assume Stephanie's okay. Kay's okay. Everybody's okay. We're all okay. Don't need to pray for these. You guys are in church every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning. You're in prayer groups. You're in Bible studies. We don't need to pray for you. You're doing great. Man, don't ever get that idea, because if anybody needs prayer, I do. We all do. But sometimes in our minds, we want to lift up those people that are hurting. Those people that, you know, Jared Green and Kenny and Chad and so many different ones that we lift up constantly, as we should. But man, if you're ever sitting anywhere and somebody comes across your mind, man, I'm sitting at my desk and all of a sudden David Weaver's name pops into my head. There's a reason for that. And so we stop and we pray. That's what we need to do. Paul is saying here, for this reason, since the day we heard about it, we don't stop praying for you. We need to pray for each other. And tonight, as we talk about this and we look at this, he says we pray, and he prays for the Colossians, and we need these same things. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. And we need knowledge. Now, knowledge, if it's not put to use, is no good. But we need the knowledge of God's will. Where are you going to find that? Where am I going to find that? But in His Word. And yes, we can get it from, like I said, from Bible studies and sermons and Sunday school lessons. We can get it from there. But man, it's been on my heart all week long that nothing has affected me more than the more time I spend in Scripture. And think about, and this is sad, but how many Christians never dig deep into the Bible? Man, they're missing out. We need to pray for our knowledge of His will. That knowledge that can only come from Him. He promises to give us that. And it doesn't just say, you need a little knowledge. He says, we pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will. I hear people all the time say, well, how do you know God's will for your life? Talk to Him about it. I mean, it's really as simple as that. We know it's to glorify and honor Him and to seek Him and to serve Him and to love others. We know it contains all of those things. But for each one of us, it's a little bit different. And so if I stand here and say, this is God's will for your life, I can't do that. You have to do that. I have to find it for me. You have to find it for you. And I can't get over this word that says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Because I've got a cherry 7-Up can that I grabbed just before I left the house, and I had to stop drinking it because it makes me want to belch, and I don't want to belch in the microphone. Because that would be really rude because it's being recorded. I would probably hear about that at some point. But this can is no longer full. But you know, when I opened it, it wasn't really full either. It had a lot in it. It was up to here. But how do you know when it's filled? When it's coming out. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, when I want you filled with the knowledge of His will, I want His knowledge overflowing from you. I want, when you talk to people, I want it coming out. When you treat people a certain, you know, somebody comes up and you receive them or you treat them, I want just knowing God's will to overflow from your life. That you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I remember several years ago, Evelyn Gross, we were standing down here when the pop machine was in this corner down here. She came around the corner. We were talking about something. I don't remember what it was. And somebody had done something or made a comment. And she just stopped and she said, Steve, that's real wisdom. And I've never forgot that. And the thing was, the person wasn't old. You know, because sometimes we think you got to be gray-headed like Mr. Ford to have wisdom. I'm going to get you in every sermon today. But we tend to think you have to be aged to be wise. But the Scripture tells us that if we ask Him for wisdom, He gives it liberally to those who truly seek it, to those who want it for His glory. So he says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Man, to understand and to take that knowledge in wisdom that comes only from Him. And it says, and a spiritual understanding. This is technically, when it's written in English, they take and they put that spiritual with the understanding. But it technically is written that it's spiritual wisdom as well. The two are tied together. And so it's not just earthly wisdom. It's spiritual wisdom. And it's spiritual understanding. I know there are people out there in this world today that people say, man, that is a wise man. Wise by worldly standards. But that's not what he's talking about. We're praying that you'll be filled with a knowledge of spiritual wisdom. There's only one place that can come from. You're not going to get that knowledge and spiritual wisdom from the world. It's got to be in spending time with Him. Spending time in His Word. And then that spiritual understanding. There have been so many times in my life, I can't even imagine how many times, that I'll read God's Word and I'm just not understanding it. I've read through and I know there's something there and I know He's trying to tell me something and it's just like I'm not understanding it. And this week I was rounding right about here, walking up this aisle, and it was like, bam, I ran into spiritual understanding. And I knew exactly what that verse was telling me I needed. I understood, and I know it had nothing to do with me. It was the Spirit of God will give you understanding if you desire it. He promises that in His Word. Too many times people say, no, you just got to study it more. Well, yeah, we do need to study it more. But I can study and study and study and study. And if it doesn't include the Spirit, there is never going to be anything given to me. I am not smart enough to figure it out. But spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding has to come from the Spirit. And so Paul is praying for these people that they would have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding for this reason, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. I think for every one of us, we would if we're point blank put on the spot and said, what do you want your life to be? We would say, I want to walk worthy of what God has called me to walk. And to walk worthy of the Lord, it's described in four ways in this verse. It says, you got to have spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. I think about that when I read that and I say, you know, I do want to walk worthy of what God's called me to do. I think, like I said, I think we all do. But what is that? To truly walk worthy. We are not worthy. Apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, we can never be worthy. But Paul is praying that they would walk worthy of the Lord. He's praying for them that they would have the Spirit and the understanding and the wisdom from the Spirit to be able to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Because too many times when I start walking the way I think God wants me to walk, well, this is the way I should do. This is the way I should live. This is the way I should act. This is what I should do because that's what the preacher does. Well, then I'm trying to please you. That's not my job. Or I'm trying to please me. That's not my job. Fully pleasing the Lord. And that verse doesn't say, I looked in different translations, and it does not ever say, just make the Lord be okay with you. It says, wants Him to be fully pleasing to Him. Sometimes we're satisfied to be okay with ourselves. But it says to be fully pleasing in Him. Be worthy of the Lord. Kind of gives us four descriptions here. First one says, being fruitful in every good work. As I was looking this week, it says there's a lot of things when it talks about being fruitful. It's doing good work, but it's living godly, leading people to Christ, praising God, giving, and having a holy attitude. And that's just some of them. If I'm going to bear fruit, some people say, well, that's just going out and witnessing to people and them coming to the Lord. Well, that's just part of it. Bearing fruit is that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control, that fruit of the Spirit. But it's praising God because of what He's done in you, because of what He's wanting to accomplish in your life. You see Him moving, you praise God. And that praise is fruit. Giving, whether it's time, whether it's finances, whether it's advice, whatever it happens to be, giving is showing that you care about somebody else. A holy attitude. Man, maybe some of them I don't give enough. But that first one, it says, to be fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Man, that's the second one. It's growing in the knowledge of God. But Paul's already said, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then he goes on and says, to be pleasing to Him, fully pleasing to Him, you've got to be fruitful in every good work, and you've got to increase in the knowledge of God. Well, if He's already praying that they're filled, if my can is already filled, how can it increase in more knowledge? Because what happens in our life, if you go, and I counted them one time, and I didn't do it this week, how many times in the Bible did it say Peter, one of them, being filled with the Holy Spirit? And then a few chapters later, same guy, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Did he have a leak? I mean, sometimes that's what I feel like. I have that spiritual leak. It's like my bucket's got a hole in it. And he's saying, as long as you're continuing to increase in the knowledge, never be satisfied with what you know. Never be satisfied that you know enough. Oh, I've read that scripture before. I've heard that preached before. Never be satisfied that you can't get something else out of it to increase and to grow in the knowledge, because that's what He desires us to do. And that growing cannot occur apart from knowledge. The bearing fruit is probably not going to happen apart from the growing of the knowledge. But too many times we're satisfied with, well, even if I'm increasing just a little bit, I'm getting a little better. Man, don't be satisfied with a 30% increase. Man, there's always 40. Or there's always 50. We need to continue to grow in our knowledge if we're going to be fully pleasing to Him. The next one says, to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Man, too many times I want to show my strength. And if I'm going to try to be pleasing to Him, it's not going to be by my strength. It's by Thy Spirit, says the Lord. But we are to be strengthened with God's power. And the only way that can happen is for me to surrender my power to Him and let Him replace that with His power. Too many times I have the idea, or people have the idea, that, well, I'm strong enough, or I'm doing pretty good, but I will never be strong enough. It's not for the purpose of, look how strong I am. Other Christians, look how strong I am. Look how strong they are. That's not what it's about. It's for the purpose of glorifying and honoring God. And the only way we can do that is through His power, according to His glorious power. Think about that. God's glorious power is in you through the Holy Spirit. Well, I just don't know if I'm strong enough to do this. I don't know if I can handle this situation. You can't. You don't have to. We surrender it to Him, and that's what pleases Him, because He wants us to acknowledge the fact that, Steve, you can't do this on your own. You need me. He wants us to acknowledge that. You can think, and I'm sure you were this way, I think everybody in here has had kids that at some point or another they've got to that point where, man, my kids don't need me anymore. You know what I'm talking about? They take off to college. You know, they're working, they're doing life without me. I mean, honestly, that's how you feel sometimes, right? And it's like, and then I get this phone call Friday night from Colorado. Nathan's like, Dad, I'm having car trouble. I'm supposed to leave from Colorado tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. My Jeep won't start. He didn't know who, he called Dad. Man, I felt so good, but then I had no idea what I was doing. So I had to call Doug. But I mean, just the idea that my child called me. I knew he needed me. I'm 700 miles away. He knows I'm not a mechanic. He knows I know nothing about the engine. But he called me. Man, I was flying high because my boy called me. That's the way your God feels. My child called me. My child needed me. That's what He wants. But too many times, oh, I'll fix it on my own. I'm 700 miles away from Dad. I'm not going to call him. I'll just make him worry. Man, God is up there and He wants to have that relationship. He wants us to depend on His glorious strength every single day of our lives. Even if it's something that you think you can do, still tell Him, hey, I can't. I still need you. I depend on you every day. Then it says, for all patience and long suffering. When you look at these in the Greek, long suffering, and you may have a different translation in there, is generally talking about when you're dealing with people. Okay? Patience is when you're dealing with circumstances. So it's talking about two different things here. Okay? So you allow God's power for all things that are dealing with circumstances and all things that are dealing with people. Because you're not going to be able to handle them without Him. And He wants us to handle them this fourth way, with joy. Giving thanks to the Father. Joyously giving thanks for the blessings of what? Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. There are so many times in our life when people look at us as Christians and they say, man, I don't know that I want what you've got because you don't seem very happy. You seem kind of bummed out. I'm not talking happiness because God knows we're down here in a broken world and we have to deal with some things that are part of a fallen world. But man, when I stop and I think about the fact of what God has done for me, what He says in this verse, He qualified me to be a partaker, to be one of many in the inheritance of the saints. Think about that for just a minute. And I don't care what your day is like, if you will stop and you will think, God qualified you to have an inheritance in heaven. Man, if I'm worried about my car breaking down, if I'm worried about Hannah's dog getting me up at 5 in the morning to go for a walk, you know, whatever it is, man, I can have joy because I know someday that eastern sky is going to split. And I get to go, because, not because of anything I've done, but because He qualified me. He qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. I can have joy because, yeah, I'm still in a lot of darkness in this world, but it's not in control of me. He's delivered me from the power of it. I may walk through this dark room when the lights are off, but this dark room doesn't control me. I may walk through the darkness of this world that loves homosexuality and that loves abortion and that it does all these things that are just dark and wicked, but they don't control me. I can have joy in the midst of those. Yeah, it breaks my heart when I see, you know, something like the abortion rate, or when I see something like this world is pushing to make the norm instead of loving God. And I'm in the middle of that darkness, but it does not have a power over me. He has delivered me from darkness. And He has conveyed us, it says here, into the kingdom. He has transferred me from who I was into the kingdom of His Son. Now, that's going to happen one day, like I said, when that eastern sky splits or when I take my last breath. He's going to transfer me to that kingdom. But because of His Holy Spirit living in me, that promise has already taken place. And if you have that, then you have that joy. And that's what He's talking about. Give thanks for what you have. How long has it been since you've sat down and you've talked to somebody about the fact that God qualified you, God delivered you from darkness, God transferred you into His kingdom, and you have redemption through His blood. You have the forgiveness of sin. Because if you start talking about that, how can you not have joy? How can you not convey joy to somebody when you're talking about what God has done for you? He's brought you from your brokenness to His holiness through the blood of Jesus. And He says, you're mine. And I get to tell people, He did that for me. That's joy. And I thank Him for that opportunity. Those four ways: bear fruit, grow in knowledge, let His power be through you, and joyously give thanks, are the way that He tells us to walk worthy of the Lord. The New Testament concept which calls a believer to live in a way that is consistent with his identification with the Lord who saved him. Let me read that again. This is what the New Testament claims, what it means to walk worthy. It's the concept that calls a believer to live in a way that is consistent with the identification with the Lord who saved him. That's what it means to walk worthy of the Lord. Paul prayed for these people that they would do that. These are the ways, these four ways. Our prayer is for us, for the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, because they are the way that we will yield a life that's worthy of our Lord. Pray for yourself to have knowledge. Pray for yourself to have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, that your life will yield what it's supposed to. And don't ever stop sharing the joy that you have, because that's why our world doesn't want what they think we have. They think we have rules. They think we have regulations. They think we have meetings. But they don't know anything about the joy that we have. And the reason they don't know is because I don't tell them. Because they can't understand that joy until it becomes a joy that is just unspeakable. And that can only be transferred from one of us. And to spark something in them that says, I don't have that. I want that. I don't want his holier-than-thou attitude. I want the joy that he knows that no matter what this life throws at him, God has equipped him to be a child of the King, and he's transferred him into his kingdom. He's redeemed him. He's forgiven him. That's what I want. But they don't know that's what we have until we tell them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this night. Lord, I know it was short. I know for me it was powerful. I know there's so much here that I need to do. I need to walk worthy and to never be satisfied, to grow, Lord. That's what I want to do. I want to grow more. But I can't do that without your power. So, Lord, I pray that for all of us, these same things. I pray that for each of us, that we would live worthy, worthy of my God. In your precious name I pray. Amen.